to the Garden Show. My name is Kitty LaBounty.
I am here. I'm Molly Kabler.
Hi, and, Molly.
Good morning, and welcome to a late season garden show. We're delighted to be in the studio. Talk about what's going on in your garden.
Indeed. So we had a few subjects in mind. Actually, as usual, we have enough to talk about to fill in, I don't know, until like 10 o'clock. But we're going to cut it short, and we're going to remind you a few things about harvesting, late harvest gardens. I'm going to just mention a few pieces in my garden that maybe not everyone has, but they're things that I'm super happy to have and I'm going to keep harvesting. One is zucchini. Nothing like, my childhood days in the Northwest, but still quite a bit. Two plants is keeping me in more zucchini than I really know what to do with. And I have tomatoes. Now, both of those, one's in a little kind of a close sort of thing. That's the zucchini, and the tomatoes are in my very half-baked greenhouse that works just fine. So as long as I keep harvesting those and keeping them watered, I expect to keep having those vegetables coming at me.
So some of the things you can keep over the winter are your carrots and your Brussels and your kale, actually. No reason to pull your kale. It could easily last through incredible weather and be tasty all winter long. If you want to be able to dig your carrots out during a really frosty period, if we have one, more than a frosty, a frozen
period, yeah,
you need to be able to cover that in a way that can peel something back and still get to your ground.
Yeah, one year I had a nice pile of, I don't know why, actually I know I had it. I had like hay pieces, straw pieces, and then I covered that up with a tarp when it got really wet, and that made it really easy to go back and get my carrots out. And I don't, last year I just harvested all winter long without digging all of them at once because it was so mild. But you can't necessarily count on that happening.
And then, of course, there's potatoes. And if your greens, the green tops of your potatoes are mostly done or looking really pretty ratty, it means your potatoes are ready to dig anytime. You can or not. They do remarkably well in the ground if you're not ready to dig them. It's just a question of whether the ground freezes too hard and you can't get them out. It's almost worth keeping them in for as long as possible if you don't have a really good place to store them. And what they really like, obviously, is dark, cool, some humidity. That's like the perfect. And by cool, not freezing, but down in some, in the 40s would be really great temperature.
Yeah, no, this year I probably will leave my potatoes and carrots in the ground as long as possible because it's warm outside and it's going to be really hard to keep them from thinking that they need to grow or do something else crazy once I dig them out, even if they're in the dark. So I think they're going to hold a lot better in the ground, at least until October. So yeah, no intention of making the effort there.
And then the other thing you might be thinking about, we don't maybe think about it as harvest, but your herb plants, like what do you want to be doing? Do you have a rosemary that might make it indoors? I don't seem to be very successful with that. Our homes are usually a little more dry but if you have a sunny breezeway, cool room, something like that where there can be sun, but it stays nice and cool, those are an ideal place to overwinter herbs. Also, some of your other perennials like geraniums do pretty well in that kind of an environment too, the pelargonium ones.
Yeah, so last year, again, it was a super mild year, so my rosemary survived outside, but I don't want to bank on that again, so I'll probably dig it up, put it in some clean soil, and put it in a cooler but bright part of my house. But the herbs that I'm gathering, what I like to do is cut them, tie them up in bundles, and let them dry. So my greenhouse is kind of full of little bundles of things right now drying up, and that seems to work pretty well. Our humidity is always pretty high, so if you want to finish off your herbs in some way and you have like a dehydrator, that's probably not a bad way to do it on the lowest temperature, but you might as well take some of that moisture out just by letting them hang and dry.
And if you haven't already harvested your garlic, I hope you have. We had a really good season on garlic. I think most people had very good results, and it was ready earlier than it sometimes is. Sometimes this is just you're just getting ready, for example, to harvest garlic, and it's probably past time. That doesn't mean it's ruined. It just means the little cloves will not be covered as much in their papery They're papery covers, and they're perfectly edible, so dig them up and enjoy them. You can separate those and replant anytime. It's surprising how much nutrition garlic needs. So you can either wait and plant when you plant your fall bulbs for flowers, or you can do it right now, but really amend your beds.
Yeah, so what I've done with garlic, and I'm sure that I'm not alone in this, is I save the best cloves, the best heads of garlic for replanting. So the ones that are big and the wrappers are still really nice, that look like they have held well, those are the ones I'm going to replant. I mean, they look like you want to eat them because they look so good, but, you know, don't eat your seed stock. And then what you do is you are basically selecting for the best garlic for your conditions by constant replanting the ones that are doing the best. So hesitate on eating those beautiful ones, even though it's like seriously tempting. Take a photo of it, share it with your friends, but then plant it.
So after that, it's really all about fall, is really about thinking about spring and summer again and looking around. Take some photos if you need to. Make your mental notes about what to do different next year. And then really doing some cleanup will make a big difference. The word weed always happens. I mean, right now is when weeds are still running through beds and trying to get established, and they will do that all winter here, and they will bloom and carry on. So it's a great time to knock those back. In particular, at the raspberry bed, a lot of people in Southeast struggle with rust on the raspberries, and that looks like orange spots on the leaves. You can survive rust, and the way to really minimize it is once the leaves all fall, literally rake or sweep up every single one of them and throw them away or burn them. Do not put them in your compost. And then mulch over your raspberries, and you'll have a much better time next year because they reinfect themselves by the rain splashing on the ground up onto those brand new leaves as they leaf out. So it's just as simple as cleaning up every single raspberry leaf that you can.
That's simple. So really, I mean, just to kind of sum up the whole ideas of cleanup and why you want to clean up is, one, to remove weed sources, two, to remove disease sources. And then another one is, if you leave plants in there, you're leaving really kind of little habitat or home for pests that are specialized on that particular organism. And I'm mostly talking about vegetables. It's usually the biggest problem. So it's like we want to, things will slowly decompose if you leave them in your garden bed, but they are offering a home for pests, including things like slugs and, you know, just all sorts of other critters that are in there. So I think it is better to take all those old plants out once you're done with them. Once, you know, I know a lot of us save our broccoli and we cut it and we count on it resprouting and all that. But when you're done with that, take the whole darn thing out of there. And I've found that mine do a little better if I whack them up a little bit before I toss them in the compost, because sometimes those roots are and the stems are intense and they just don't break down in my compost pile. Even with worms and everything else in there, it's just not quite getting it. So do remove them so you don't basically leave habitat for and help create problems for next year.
It's also a great time to amend your garden beds. Now, you don't want to put your hot fertilizers in there because the winter rains are going to wash that stuff out and it won't be left there when it's time for you to plant in the spring. But it's a great time for all of the things you add to your soil that build soil quality. So that's organic material, seaweed, sand, the same things that we recommend you put in the spring. You can do them now and be all ready to go, in essence. Great time to put a load of half-finished compost in your garden, or brewery waste, or whatever you have available. Great time to throw that in. And then if you can cover those beds, if they're completely empty and you can cover them to keep the, you know, some of the leaching of the rain for the whole winter out, that will really help you have beautiful soil in the spring.
Yeah, so one of the things I was thinking about doing with one of my beds is I have all these different bins of compost. So I was going to take the bed that I thought needed the most oomph and dig a big trench in the middle, pour that mostly finished compost in, maybe grab a few buckets of brewery waste, and then throw lime over it. Figured this is a really good time to lime because it takes a little while for all those cool little chemical reactions to happen. Cover that back up with dirt and then put as thick a layer of seaweed on it as possible. Sometimes I use plastic, sometimes I don't. I more want to use plastic actually towards the warming end of the season for me. I like to actually let the bed get really cold, or as cold as it's going to get around here, because that will also cut down on some of the little wee beasties that we don't necessarily want in there. So I let that happen, and then when it comes time that I want that bed to warm up, then maybe I'll cover it up with clear plastic. And that seems to work pretty well.
All right, so turning to the beds of, say, your perennials and your flowers and shrubs, it's all the same treatment except for you're not going to pull everything out. You're not going to cover the bed. And you need to be careful about mulching too heavily. This is not the time of year to mulch your bed. You actually want it to feel the fall, feel the beginning of winter, go into dormancy and all of that. But it is a great time to carefully cut back, pull out anything that's overgrown. It's a great time to divide things like primroses and your big perennials that you need to cut in half. You can leave there. You can pull them out, cut them in half, put half back, or you can literally cut them in half and pull half out and leave half there. I mean, it's a great time to do that. It's hard to because there's usually still some beautiful flowers blooming around. But you'd be surprised at how quickly your garden will accept that you've disrupted it even this time of year. And you'll really be happy come spring when you realize that things are not so overgrown and your perennials are blooming better because you've given them more room.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest benefits. You realize if you don't divide some of those perennials, they just start to diminish over the time. And even rhubarb, I need to remind people about that with rhubarb too. A little bit off topic there, but dividing these perennials improves their health in general cases. You know, I'm not talking about dividing trees, of course, or shrubs, but, you know, your perennials that are herbaceous and your rhubarb type things do so much better if you divide them. So it's worth the time. It's worth the effort that you put into that.
So we talked about your garden beds, you know, like your vegetable beds and your perennial beds. So there's one more pretty major component of your yard that a lot of people have, and that's your lawn. Which Kitty and I laugh. We don't value lawns very much. That's nothing personal on your beautiful lawn. But this is the Sesame Street segment, and it's the letter L. And that's there's two of them in fall, and that's how you remember. So it stands for lawn, lime, and lilac, and fall. So just think the letter L, and that will remind you that in the fall, you lime your lawn and your lilac. And anything else that really needs lime. You mentioned it earlier for your vegetable beds. Yeah. Great time to put lime on your vegetable beds as well. Probably you could lime your perennial beds, but you want to go easy on that.
And you want to be careful about it because most of us have this mixture of acid-loving and, you know, not-so-acid-loving plants in our perennial flower beds. So you kind of have to be judicious. You know, I certainly don't want to lime my rhododendrons, and my rhododendrons are near most of my bed, so I kind of have to like do this kind of crazy plan out there. The nice thing is, unless you dump a whole bag of lime on some of these things, it rains enough here that you're probably not going to kill your rhododendron, but don't try to kill your rhododendron by dumping lime on it unless you have some reason to want to kill it. Then it's just easier just to dig it up. Speaking of rhododendrons, I have at least two of them that are blooming again right now, which is very fun.
I do too. In particular, the small flowered rhododendrons are the ones that rebloom in the fall. And we had a really big bloom last year. And I know it was the first time several people noticed it and had asked about it. They're like, what? You know, they were worried. And I have a pretty strong rebloom this year as well. So, yep, some of the small rhododendrons are blooming again. It's perfectly normal. So enjoy that.
So one of the funny things that rebloomed this fall that totally threw me was my Clematis Montana, which I don't know if I've seen it rebloom in the fall, had a few blooms. I mean, it's not like the spring blooms where there all these plants are just covered, but a lot of these things will rebloom. So they're great little bits of surprise enjoyment in your garden.
So we want to talk about some of the late season flowers and what's going on. And this is a good transition to it. But one of the things I have that it's not so much a late season, it's an all season, are the violas and pansies, particularly in containers, and the fuchsias and the begonias. Uh-huh. And they all look beautiful, and most of them can be wintered over. It may take you a few tries to find out what are the exact conditions at your own house. because your fuchsias need to wait. My fuchsias are still blooming pretty well, and I'm going to keep them until hard freeze. They survive a lot of light frosts hanging out under my eaves, and they need to taste some frost and then cut them back carefully.
It's time to go.
And stash them in a mostly dark, cool place. About the same as the potatoes. They can be together with the potatoes.
So my contribution towards late season flowers that are really kind of all season are nasturtiums. My nasturtiums look glorious right now. And granted, I probably planted them a little late, but the basket's on the deck, and I put them out at the ends of my vegetable beds and just mixed around in my flower beds, and they look pretty spectacular right now. So I'm pretty pleased with those. But I did want to mention one plant that I started. This is the first year I've grown it from seed, and it's blooming right now, and that's the woodland tobacco, Nicotiana sylvestris. Sounds like woodland tobacco. Its flowers are spectacular. They're about 4 inches long, and most of it is the long floral tube, and they're white. They're slender white and very statuesque. I grew them from seed. I probably started the seed in March, and I kind of wish I had started it a little bit earlier because, you know, they're just coming into full bloom. But they are glorious. So I highly recommend if anyone's interested in late season flowers that you try those. They also look beautiful at night because they're white flowers and they kind of glow. So
This is a great time of year for white flowers because we're starting to have the evening darkness where it's not dark yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it gets there, but we're having a little more darkness that those white flowers in the garden seem to really glow. The big white lilies, speaking of white flowers, are glorious around town.
Yeah.
Super sweet smelling. So that, if you're looking for, wait, my garden doesn't have any oomph, what do I look around and see what's blooming now and plan that for next year. So those big, I think those are the Asiatic.
Yeah, usually the
lilies.
Asiatics. Yeah.
The other things that are looking great right now are the Monardas, which are called a bee balm. They're in the mint family. They're a late bloomer, and they look really good in the garden.
Also phlox. I love the phlox right now. I have a white phlox near the white Nicotiana, so I've got this little glow-in-the-dark thing going, which I love.
Some of the daisy-type flowers, I have a Rudbeckia that is really slow. It barely makes it, but right now it is just beautiful. So that's the black-eyed Susan type of daisy-looking flower. So the Rudbeckias can look really beautiful this time of year. And then the funny one are the Chelonis.
Yes. Oh, those are great. Those turtle's heads. They look like giant pink snapdragons in my mind that are blooming right now. If you don't have one of these, they're really great because they tolerate shade, they bloom late, and they have really showy flowers. It's a pretty good set of characteristics. One I wanted to mention, we're probably running out of time, is the sea holly, Eryngium. They are gorgeous. They look like small, what would I call them? Like if you're familiar with teasel from down south, they kind of have that overall shape, but they're just this lovely lavender purple, and they also dry really well, but those are blooming right now, and they are just really charming. And then one other plant that I've had for a long time in my garden that I really enjoy, that's a small mounding flowering perennial. It's a little stakies, which probably has, is it a wood betony maybe might be its name? I don't know. It's a common name. If you're interested in finding out what this plant is, you know, shoot us a message through the station. But it blooms every year. It blooms from late August through usually the end of September, and just is tidy and lovely and has no pests that I know of. So, yeah, it's a cute little stankies.
So what about your viburnum? Is it starting to bloom?
Yes, my viburnum's blooming too.
Right. So the viburnum we're talking about is New Dawn. It's the big woody shrub. Mine's about 20 feet tall, and it blooms not in the summer. So that's sort of the summary statement, and it's coming on and starting to bloom now with its leaves, and it will bloom intermittently all through the warm periods of the winter.
Yes, it's a wonderful plant to have because when it is gray and dark and gnarly, you go out there and there's these lovely little pink flowers out there just like going, okay, you're going to make it. You're going to make it till spring. You can do this. I just, yeah, they're absolutely glorious. And just a couple other ones I wanted to mention. One was fall crocus, which we can talk more about when we talk about bulbs next week, but those are a nice thing to have blooming. And then one of the other things that has been going on in my garden all summer long is calendulas. And they overwintered last year. It's a variety called Touch of Red. I planted them last year. They went on, and they are still blooming like mad.
We'll be back on September 21st with a show all about choosing and growing bulbs for spring blooms. Thanks so much for joining us for The Garden Show. I'm Molly Kavler.
And I'm Kitty LaBounty.